Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Chaf Vav. We're beginning the fourth and final perek of Megillah, B'nei Ha'ir Shemachu Rechova. And we begin on the very bottom of Chaf Hei Omed Beis at the Mishnah, two lines from the bottom. B'nei Ha'ir, if you have the people of a city, Shemachu Rechova Shalir, they sold the Rechova Shalir. What is the Rechova Shalir? Rashi explains, Yeshbo Kedusha, it has a certain level of Kedusha. Why? Kedem Farshu Gwarz, and we're going to explain, Hol Mispalimbo B'Tanios U'B'Mamados, because it was used to daven on Tanios. Some aren't going to use the word Mamados, we'll just leave it out for now, but basically on Tanis Tzibur, they would go and need a larger space, and they would go and use the Rechov of the city, the town square, so to say, to go and daven in, so it has a certain level of Kedusha. Therefore, you're allowed to go and sell this only for something, we'll have the principle that we'll see in Rashi, on the top of Chavav and Aleph, you're only allowed to go up in Kedusha, you're never allowed to go down in Kedusha, ain moridin. And therefore, the people of the city would be allowed to go and sell the Rehovah for a higher level of Kedusha. So, they would be allowed to sell this Rehovah Shalir, this town square, and they would take with the money that they got for this, Lochim Bedomov, Besa Knesses. They could go purchase a shul that has a higher level of Kedusha than the town square. Likewise, if they sold the Beis HaKnesses, so they would be allowed to take those funds and lochin teva. They would be allowed to go, and either this teva means an Aron Kodesh, or it means the bima that you put the Sefer Torah on. In either event, this teva has a higher level of Kedusha than the simple shul itself. Now, if you were selling a teva, so then lochin mitpachot. Now, if you were selling the teva, so you could buy something that has a higher level of Kedusha, and that would be the mitpachos, which are the mantles, the things that we wrap around a Sefer Torah, or a svarim that are like a nach, that we wrap them with these mantles. So they would be allowed to go and sell the teva for something, a higher level of Kedusha, which is the mitpachos. And the mitpachos, if you're going to sell the mitpachos, we turn to Chavavah and Aleph, you'd only be allowed to buy svarim with it. Now svarim could mean any type of svarim, which would mean either a Navi, or it could mean a Chumash itself, a literal Chumash, not a published book, but a Sefer Bereishis, for example, that was by itself, or a Sefer Torah. And when you're selling the Svarim, so Lochin Torah, you'd only be allowed to sell for a Torah. So if you're selling a single book of Chumash that was written as a scroll, or a Navi, so you're selling a Yeshaya, you'd only be allowed to take the proceeds from that and purchase with a Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to go down in Kedusha, you can only go up in Kedusha. However, the Mishnah continues says, Abel Machru Torah, if you are selling a Torah and you get money for it, Lo Yikhu Svarim, you're not allowed to take the money that you got and go and purchase with it a lower level of Kedusha, such as Svarim, such as Enach or Ksuvim. Likewise, if you're selling Svarim, those are not a Sefer Torah, that is going to be Nach or a single book of Chumash, so then Lo Yikhu Mitpachos, you wouldn't be allowed to buy a mantle with that. Likewise, mitpachos, if you're selling mitpachos, the mantles, so you wouldn't be allowed to lo yichu teva, you wouldn't be allowed to go and sell either for a Aron Kodesh or some say a bima. And if you're selling a teva, you're selling either the Aron Kodesh or a bima, lo yichu beis haknesses. You can't use that money to go and purchase a beis haknesses, which is a lower level of Kedusha. And likewise, beis haknesses, if you're selling beis haknesses, lo yichu es harachov, you wouldn't be allowed to buy with those proceeds a town square. And likewise, if there's any leftover funds, v'chein b'mos roseihin, as Rashi says, mochu svarim, v'lochu mimiktsas adamim Torah, so yes, you're allowed to sell svarim, you have a yeshaya, and you sell it, and you buy a sefer Torah with it, for whatever the reason, you have leftover funds, you're not allowed to take the excess funds, lo yichlu minamosar, dover shikdushaso b'chusa. You can't buy, even though there's leftover funds, you can't buy something that is a lower level of Kedusha. That's our mission. The Gemara starts off and says, b'nei ha'ir shemachu rechova shalir, that the people in the town, they sold the town square. So we said in the Mishnah that you're only allowed to use the proceeds to buy something on a higher level of Kedusha. Amar Rabba bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabba bar Chana saying Rabbi Yochanan, Zu divrei Rabbi Menachem bar Yosi stumta. This is the opinion of Rabbi Menachem bar Yosi, who is the one who is stumta. He is the one that the Stam Mishnah is like him. As Rashi says, Behedja Amrina Metosefta, the Megillah, do Amra. We have Befeirish in the Tosefta that he is the author of our Mishnah. Now, that is only his opinion. Avo Chachamim, the Chachamim disagree. They say, Omrim, HaRechov Ein Bo Mishum Kedusha. They say that the Rechov, the town square, has no Kedusha whatsoever. It's used only on a rare and occasional basis, and therefore they disagree that it has any Kedusha, and therefore you could sell it for whatever you want. As long as it's not a disparaging type of a usage, you can sell it for whatever you want. Gemara continues and says, "V'Rav Menachem Bar Yosi Stum Tov." This Rav Menachem Bar Yosi, my time, or what is his reasoning to say that the Rechov Shelo Ir has a certain level of kedusha to it, and the Chum disagree with it? So why is he saying that it has kedusha to it? So as we pointed out before, ho, ba'am mispalim bo b'taniyos u'b'mamados, since it is used on taniyos. Again, question whether you agoris the words mamados. So let's not make it life easy. So since they would use it on a tanis, so it did have a certain level of usage for it. So therefore, you can't just say it has no kedusha whatsoever, and therefore you have to sell it for something that has more kedusha, but you can't sell it as if it was null and void of kedusha because it was used on taniyos. No, that sounds like it's pretty good. It does have some kedusha. Rabbanan, the Chachamim, how come they say you're allowed to sell it for whatever you want? It has no kedusha if they use it on a tainus. Why? So Gemara says, how akroi bi alma? That's a rare usage. It's not a regular usage. And therefore, the Chachamim hold, ain't no tadir, as Rashi says, and therefore, it's not included in this idea of malim bekodesh ve'emoridin. It really is used so rarely on the tainus, so therefore, it doesn't have the status of something that you can only sell for a higher level usage. Now the Gemara says, Beis HaKnesses, Lochin Tebo. We said in the Mishnah that if you have a Beis HaKnesses, you're allowed to take the funds when you sell the Beis HaKnesses and use it to purchase either a Tebo, we said was either an Aron Kodesh, or some suggested it is a Bima. Either that, one of them is where the Sefer Torah was either placed in it or on it. So Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Yonason, Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says the name of Yonason, Lo Shana, we only said this, Ella, Beis HaKnesses Shel Kfarim. This was only true for the little cities, the kfar, the little small village, the little small city where this din applies, because it is their private property, so to say, and therefore they would be allowed to go and do this. However, I will base a knesset shel krochim, the big shuls in the big cities, that they weren't funded only with the people who lived in that city. They were used by travelers from all over the world that came to this big city, and therefore, kivan de me'alma asuleg, since the funding for this type of a shul came from people from all over the world, lo motsu mezavne le. So then the local city doesn't have the right. The people that live over here in this krach, in this larger city, they don't have the right to go sell it on their own because it belongs to the entire world. It belongs to all the Jews of the world and not just to the people living in that city. The Havalei de Rabbim, it's something that belongs to the Rabbim, so the local people don't have the right to go and sell it and use it for a higher level of holiness. They have to leave the shul as it is because the people of the world are the only ones that can go sell it. And obviously, that's something very difficult to go and gather and say, yes, that all the people of the world are in agreement with this. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says further, "Hi, Beikinishta, the Masa Machasya. This shul that was in the big city of Masa Machasya. Masa Machasya was a very wealthy city, and Ravashi was the rav in that city. So Apogav the Miyam Asula. Even though people came from all over the world to go daven in the shul in that city, it was a very big city. Nevertheless, the city did have the right to go and sell it. Why is that? This is different than we just said. The large cities that don't have a right to sell it here." Rav Ashi said, the city of Masa Machasya does have the right to sell it. Why is that? So kivan da daito didi ka'asu iboina mezavnina la. Because I'm the Rav in this town, and everybody that donated it to me, so to say, on behalf of the town, and therefore they gave me the authority to do with it what I think is best. And therefore, here we don't need to ask the whole world what to do, which of course is not something you can ever do, but we can presume that whatever I think is appropriate to do with this city, in other words, if we want to sell it for an Aron Kodesh or to sell it for a Teba, we would be allowed to do so. Now questions a statement that Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said in the Rav Yonason that this allowance to go and sell a shul in a small town is only for the small town, but is not normally for a large town, with the exception of a town like Ravashi, where everybody in the world donated it to Ravashi. But in general, if it's a large town, you have to get the permission from the entire world, which is impossible to do, and therefore, a large town, the shul can't be sold so easily. So Gemara now questions this. Is that really true? Meisvei, I'll show you a braisa that seems to contend with what Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said. The braisa tells us, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda said, Ma'isa b'veisa knesset shul tursiyim. There once was a shul that was made from the tursium. The tursium are people that were involved in making copper. Rashi says, Tzorfei Nechoshes, they were the copper refiners, and these coppersmiths made their own shul, and this was known as the Beis HaKnesset Shel Tursium. Now this shul was in Yerushalayim. Now Yerushalayim is about as big a city as you can think of. Shemachru al Rabbi Eliezer, and these people, the tursium, they sold their shul to Rabbi Eliezer, the also bought called Tzrochav, and he did whatever he wanted with it. And this seems to go against the principle that Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said that in a large city you can't do with it whatever you want. You need the permission of the whole world. So the Gemara says, "V'ahosam dekrachem haba." This was a worldly city, Yerushalayim, and therefore it shouldn't have been allowed to be done with whatever Rabbi Eliezer wanted to do with it. So this is a kasha on what Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said. Someone says, no, it's not Akasha. Hayi Beiknishta, this shul of the Tarsiim, Zutihab, it was a very small shul, the Inhu of Duha. And therefore, these people, they set it up themselves. They were the ones that built this shul, and it was like the halachic status of a small little town, because this wasn't the shul for all the people of Yerushalayim. This was a small little coppersmith shul, and therefore, those people did have the right to go and sell it, just like the people in a small village had the right to go sell their shul. So too, these people, these coppersmiths, had the right to sell their shul to Rabbi Eliezer to do with it whatever he saw fit. So the Gemara says, still, Meisve, I'll still question what Rosh Hashanah Nachmeni said. The following Brice, it says, Beveis Eretz Achuzatzchem, when there are certain types of lesions on a house, this is known as Tsaras Debayis. So if it's in Beveis Eretz Achuzatzchem, if the lesions are in a house that is in your Achuzah, it's in your territory, so then those are the ones that can have a Tsaras lesion. And the Gemara says, Achuzatzchem, if it's in your territory, then mitama binigoyim, it can have a negat zaras on the house. However, the ain Yerushalayim, but the city of Yerushalayim, which doesn't belong to any individual tribe, it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael, mitama binigoyim, is able to go be mitama binigoyim because it's not called achuzaschem. And in this regard, Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, Ani lo shamati, I heard this din. It wasn't said about all Yerushalayim. It was only said, Ani lo shamati ele mekom mikdash bovad. It was only talking about the Har HaBayis. It was only talking about the place of the Beis HaMikdash. That had no achuzah. That belonged to all of Klal Yisrael. But the rest of Yerushalayim was divided up amongst the different shvatim. And therefore, there should have been an ability to have a negat saras in the parts of Yerushalayim that were called the Beis Eretz Achuzah Schem. So therefore, ha bate knesios ubate medrashos mitamim. So their base knesses, their shuls, and their base medrashes, their places of learning, should be able to be mitame to masaras. But why am I? Ha dekrachen have it. They are big, big cities, and they belong to everybody. Like we just said, the opinion of Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, or Rav Yonason, was that only the small villages, they belong to those little people. But the shuls in the big cities, the base medrashes in the big cities, they belong to everybody. So therefore, it shouldn't be over here something that has the ability to be mitame. So Gemara says, no, that's not a kasha. Ema, when Rav Yehuda said, Ani lo shamati ela makom mikdash bovad, that was incorrect. You should have to say, Ema, Amar Yehuda, what Yehuda really said was, Ani lo shamati ela makom mikudash bovad. I only heard that a place that is holy, Lav Davka, the Beis HaMikdash, not Lav Davka, the Har HaBayis, but this would apply any Beis Knesses or any Beis Medrash, that's also not included in this din. So therefore, there's no stira to what Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Yonason said. Now, what exactly is Rav Yehuda and the Tanakama in this Brisa argue about? Because the Tanakama said it has to be Beveis Eretz Achuzah Schem, Ein Yerushalayim Mitame Binagoyim, and Yerushalayim is not included in that because it's not Beis Achuzah Schem. And Rav Yehuda says that only the Makom Mekudash is included, in other words, the rest of Yerushalayim is included as Beis Achuzah Schem. So what is this Machlokus? This is a famous Machlokus. We have this in the Gemara in Yuma as well. And that is as follows. Tanakama Sabah, the Tanakama says that Yerushalayim doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, it's not metame tumas negoyim lo nischalku Yerushalayim l'shvatim. He says that Yerushalayim belongs to all; it's a universal city. It belongs to all of Klal Yisrael, and therefore it can't be metame as Beis Eretz Achuzah Schem. Whereas Yehuda Sofer nischalku Yerushalayim l'shvatim. He says Yerushalayim was in fact divided up, as we'll see, between Yehuda and Binyamin, and therefore it is called the Beis Eretz Achuzah Schem. And this is the machlokes. Or if it looks at the Hanitanoi, this machlokus between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda is paralleling another machlokus between these two Tanoi. The Tanya, this Braisa tells us, as I mentioned, this Braisa is from Yuma. It's also found in other places like Zvachim and a couple of places as well. And it says, Maya b'chalkos Yehuda, what actually in the Beis HaMikdash was the chelik of Yehuda, and what was the chelik of Binyamin? According to this opinion, it belonged to specific Shvatim and didn't belong to all of Klal Yisrael. So the Braisa continues and says, the Har HaBayis itself, the entire Har HaBayis area, the Lishkos, these were the Lishkos that were around the Azara, the Azaros, and the actual Azaros themselves, this was the Ezras Noshim, this was the Ezras Anoshim, and this was the Ezras Kohanim. All of these were set places in the Har HaBayis area. The Ezras Noshim was outside Shar Nikanor, and the Ezras Anoshim was the first 11 Amos into Shar of the Azara, through Shire Nicanor, and then you had the Ezras Kohanim, which was another 11 Amos, into it further. And there were some elevations there as well, which we're not going to go into right now. So that all belonged to Yehuda. And what belonged to Binyamin? So there we have definitively that the Ulam, that's the area outside the Heichal, the entranceway into the Heichal, and the Heichal itself, and Obeis Kodesh Kedoshim, and the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim. So that all belonged, that's the Heichal and the Kodesh Kedoshim, along with the Ulam, that all belonged to Binyamin. Now, there also was an area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam that belonged to Binyamin as well, but there was the area to the north and the south of the Mizbeach that there is a question as to who owned that. So that's what now the Bryce is telling us. There was a portion, a one-amah strip that extended out from the area of Yehuda, which was the area that was before the Mizbeach, and it extended into the side of the Mizbeach. And this was when Nechneses, it entered into Bechal Kosher Binyamin, because the Mizbeach all belonged to Binyamin. So there was a little strip where there wasn't Mizbeach, but if you looked at the Mizbeach as a block of 32 Amah by 32 Amah, which it wasn't, because one Amah along the south and one Amah along the east did not in fact have any Mizbeach there. The Yesod, the foundation, was missing in that part, and therefore Binyamin, so to say, lost that, and it was grabbed by Yehuda. So Ritzu, Ha'isayot says, B'chal Kosher Yehuda, V'nichnes says, B'chal Kosher Binyamin. And they were very upset about this. Uba Mizbeach Boni. And in that area, around that, the Mizbeach was built, all in Binyamin's territory. Why Binyamin Matzadik? Binyamin, who was such a great tzadik, was mitztayer about this. He was upset about this. Aleha, B'chol Yom Levola. And every day, so to say, he wanted to bring this portion into his territory as well. Shenema, as we have in Moshe's Bracha to Binyamin. So this tells us that he was, so to say, scratching his head. He was upset that he was missing this little piece of portion of the area around the Mizbeach. And therefore, lefikach zocha Binyamin v'nasa ushbizochan l'shchina. And therefore, because of his great desire to be the sole host of anything in great Kedusha, so therefore, he was zocha, the Shevet of Binyamin was zocha to have the Har HaBayis area that had the most Kedusha, the Bein Ulam, the Mazbeach, the Ulam, and the Hechal, and the Kodesh Kedoshim, that was all totally in the section of Binyamin. So what do you clearly see? That the Har HaBayis was divided up into a section first of Yehuda, and then even a holier section that belonged to Binyamin. So that was one Tana. The other Tana said, no, Lo Nischalku Yerushalayim L'Shvatim. No, this belonged to everybody. They disagreed with this Chalukah to Binyamin and Yehuda, and they said, no, all of Klai Yisrael owned Yerushalayim. The Tanya, where did they get it from? From the following Braisa. It tells us, Ein Maskirin Batim Yerushalayim. A person is not allowed to go and rent out his house that he owns in Yerushalayim. You bought the house and you think you can do with it whatever you want, and the answer is, no, you can't. You're not allowed to go and rent it, Mimnesha and Yerushalayim, because it really doesn't belong to you. Now, it does belong to you. Somebody else can't just go and take it from you and kick you out of it, but during the Shlosh Regalim, when people have a right to come up there, they can, so to say, go and use your house and go and squat over there and stay there because it really doesn't belong totally to you. The Chazon Ish says there was only a usage right that the rest of the people had, but the house actually belonged to the Shevet of Yehuda and Binyamin. In any event, so therefore you didn't really consider having full ownership on it, and that's this Tana's opinion that it was Nischalka to all of the Shvatim and not just to Binyamin and Yehuda. Now, Rebbe Eliezer Bar Tzadok Komer, he adds on one thing, Aflomitos, he says, even the beds in your house, you're not allowed to go rent out to people because everything really belongs to all of Klai Yisrael. And Tosus, in the bottom, Tosus brings down, Pirush from Rabbeinu Rav Yosef, the Sfiru Lei, the Kivan Shakarka Mokom Amitos, since the ground is where the beds are standing up on, Lohiyam Yuchad Lebalim, it doesn't really belong to the Balim. And therefore, Lohiyah Koch Biyodim Leaskirim Sriros Sholem, they couldn't rent it out for the full amount, when we call Mako, Machamas Taltalehem, Hayunotlin, Oros HaKochim. But they did get entitled to something for it, and that's why Rav Elazar Tzadok said, Lefikach, even though they couldn't stop the people from using them, nevertheless, Oros Kochim, Bala Yushpizin, Notlin Osam Bizroa. So the people whose house was being used, the beds were being used, had the right to go and take, even by force, Bizroa, go and take the Oros, the hides of the korbanos that were kochei kalim, the ones that were kochei kadoshim, those belonged to the kohanim. They didn't have kedusha, but they were given over to the kohanim. But the ones that were kochei kalim, which belonged to the owners, so the people that were having their houses and their beds forcibly used by these renters, so to say, who didn't pay rent, but they paid them with these hides. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, we learn from here, Shema Minah, it is orach ara, it's good manners, it's the proper way for one to act, lemishbak inish, for a person to go and give gulfa umashcha, to go and give over a gulfa. Rashi explains, a gulfa is a kankan shelcheres, an earthenware jug that he used, umashcha, these are the skins of the animals that he shechted to the host that he stayed by his house so to say, as payment for something that they weren't really allowed to go and take payment. That's the right way for a person to act, to go and make up to them the fact that you did stay in their house, you did sleep on their bed. Okay, this is the machlokis as to whether Yerushalayim was in the chalka lishvatim or not. Now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rava, Rava says, that which we said until now, that you're only allowed to go and sell the city for certain rules, it has to be Malam Kodesh and not Moridin, that was only said, Lo Shanu, Elo Shalom Mochru, Shiva, Tove Ya'ir, B'maimut Anshir. That's only when the seven Tove Ya'ir, those were the people that were put in charge, or the councilmen of the city, those are the ones who were given the right to go and deal on behalf of the city, take care of the finances of the city, and they did this, B'maimut Anshir, in the presence, if you wish, of the town. In other words, they were acting on behalf of the town. They had a formal role of being what's called Zayin Tuvei Ha'ir, and they were allowed to go and do these things as long as they did them publicly on behalf of the town. So what Rav is telling us is, if it was Lo Shana, we only said that this is that you can't do whatever you want. Elo Shalom Achru Shiva Tovei Ha'ir B'maimut Anshir. If the trustees of the town did not do this selling of whatever it was with the authority of the town, but they did it on their own, so then you have to follow the rules of Malam Bekodesh Reim Aridin. However, Avo Machru Shiva Tovi Yair, if the seven trustees of the town did it, but Maimon Anshiyir, they did it with the support and with the permission of the Anshiyir, so then Afilu, then even if, if we turn to Chavav Omer Beis, even Lemishta Bei Shechra, they would even be allowed, as Rashi says, Liknos Bidomim, they could take the funds that they sold, whatever it was they sold, the Lassos Shechar Lishtos, and go buy beer for the town. They had the authority to do that, Shaper Domi. They would be allowed to go and do that if they were the seven Tuvei Ha'ir, selling it B'maybet Anshir Ir. That's how far this idea goes. And the Gemara says, Ravina, Habalei Ha'o Tila. Ravina had a certain mound of earth, the Beit Knishta, that used to be the ruins of a base Knesset, and he owned that area, and he wanted to go plant in that area. So also the Kami de Ravashi went to Ravashi, and he asked him, Amalei, Mahu Lemizra, am I allowed to go and plant in what used to be a shul over here, but now it's a mound of earth, and I want to go plant stuff in it. It's no longer a shul. So Amalei, Ravashi tells him, Zil Zabne Mishiva Tuvi Ya'ir B'maimon Anshir, in order that you don't have any problems, go and purchase this piece of land from the seven trustees of the town with the understanding of the town, B'maimon Anshir Ya'ir, and this way you can do with it whatever you want, including Uzra. You'd be allowed to go plant in this area. Similarly, Rami Bar Abba, that's the name of one of the Amaroyim, Havakoi Bonei Beknishta, he was building a new shul, Hava Hayi Knishta Atika, there already was an old shul, but he wanted to knock down the old shul and build a new shul. And he needed some of the raw materials of the old shul to go and build a new shul. So he asked, Havaboy Lemistrei, he wanted to go and knock down the old shul and immediately build a new shul with Lasuye Livne, take the bricks from the old shul, Ukshure, and the beams, Mina, from the old shul, and put it and build it, the new shul. Bayul Lassim, he was going to go and take those old bricks and those old beams and build a new shul. But he first had to knock down the old shul. So he wasn't sure, is he allowed to do this or not? So Yosef, he sat, he called me Boyale, and he asked, what about Rav Chista? Rav Chista just had said, oh, the Rav Chista, the Omer Rav Chista, lo listor be knishta, ad de boni be knishta achrite. You're not allowed to go knock down an old shul until you go and build a new shul, because if you knock down the old shul, there's always a chance that you won't build a new shul, and then you'll have no shul. So he said, over there, when Rav Chista said, you're not allowed to knock down the old shul until you have a new shul, that was in a case where they weren't planning on using the raw materials from the old shul to build a new shul. Also, Mishum Pshiusa, and therefore, they were just assuming that they were just selling it, and who knows if they'll ever build a new shul, and then they'll be stuck with no shul. But what I'm suggesting to do, Rami Bar Abba said, Ki Aigavna, where I'm going to go and take the actual bricks and the beams from the old shul and use them to make the new shul, my, I'm not selling them, so I'll have them, and can I go and do this or not? So does Rav Chista's din apply here or not? That's what he was asking, and therefore he asked some great Gedolei Hador. What's interesting over here is Rami Bar Abba was a great Gedol himself, but he didn't feel comfortable making this decision, so he went to ask other Gedolim. Also, the Kami Rav Papa, he went to Rav Papa, Yosalei, and Rav Papa told him, no, you're not allowed to do this. Likewise, he went to Lekami de Rav Huna. He went to Rav Huna. On the side, it says this was Rav Huna Brady Rav Yeshua. It wasn't the original Rav Huna. This was somebody that came a couple of generations afterwards, Rav Huna Brady Rav Yeshua, and also the Osale. He also said, you can't do something like this. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hai Be Knishta, Chilupa Vizabuna Share. You have a shul, which we talked about in our Mishnah, and now you want to go and exchange the shul, take the money for this shul, and go and build something with this money. So if you're exchanging it or you're selling it, so we said you're allowed to go and sell it for an equal level Kedusha or a higher level Kedusha. But that's if you're actually selling it or exchanging it. ogura, if you're only renting it, umashkuna, or if you're using it to collateral, a mortgage, so then also, then you wouldn't be allowed to do so. Why not, my timer? Because it retains its status. Unless you're actually exchanging it, so then it still has the kedusha. And therefore, you can't use it for a rental or for a collateral for a mortgage. But you would be allowed to go and exchange it or to sell it. Now, Rava says further, Livni nami, the bricks of the shul, chalpinhu, to exchange them, vizabninhu, or to sell them, to buy a new shul is shari, that's allowed. However, osfinhu, to go and lend them, also, that you're not allowed to do. And in fact, hani mili batikosa, that's when you're dealing with old bricks that were already part of a shul, and therefore, they have the kedusha of the old shul. Aval becharita, where there are bricks that were designated to go build a shul, but they haven't yet been used. So this is what we call hazmana, they were designated, but as we see, hazmana la milsi, we don't say that this is something that has halachic consequences right now, less lonba. So therefore, you could take those bricks that were designated to make a shul and use them for something else. And now, that's according to Man D'Yomer, it says, Hazmona Lav Milsi. However, if you have Man D'Yomer, Hazmona Milsi, even according to the other Man D'Yomer, it says, no, if you just designated it as something, then it is, in fact, having that Kedusha. So the classical example of this is Gemara in Brachos, where we have a bathroom that's being built in a building, but it hasn't yet been used as a bathroom. So we have the machlokis between Abai and Rava as to whether Hazmona Milsi or Hazmona Lav Milsi. One opinion says that the fact that you designated it to be a bathroom, even though it wasn't used as a bathroom, so you have to treat it like a bathroom. You wouldn't be allowed to daven there. And the other opinion says, no, it wasn't ever used as a bathroom. So even though it's designated as a bathroom, on the architectural plans, it looks like it's going to be a bathroom, but until it's used as a bathroom, it doesn't have the halachic status. So our Gemara says, Afilu Man D'Yomer Hazmona Milsi, even according to Man D'Yomer, it says that designating it for something is considered a actual designation, and it should have halachic consequences. That's not true. Hani mili, it only is considered hazmona milsi. It only has significance in this designation. For example, could go in ha'oreg beged lemeis. If you're dealing over here with weaving the burial shrouds for a person. So when you're weaving the burial shrouds for a person, then the opinion that says hazmona milsi says, yeah, because there's almost nothing else that you can use this for. And therefore, it is in fact going to be used certainly for the shrouds. And therefore, it's like already designated according to this Man D'Yomer, Hazmona Milsihi. But, Abu Halacha, when we're dealing over here, B'tavui L'orig Dami, we're dealing over here with bricks that are no different than the wool that is being spun into the threads that will be used to build the shrouds, to make the shrouds for the dead person. So then, Leka L'man D'Yomer, then nobody says Hazmona Milsihi in that situation. As Rashi points out, when you're dealing with shrouds, Kivin Shinerag, as soon as they're woven into the shrouds, Miyat have a roi, the parsho al hames, you immediately can use them as shrouds, and therefore it is considered already as if it's designated according to the Man D'Yomer. It says designation hazmona milsi. However, abu levenim, these bricks mechusar masia livnosu mikosel, they haven't yet been made into bricks to be used into the wall, and therefore even the opinion of the Man D'Yomer that says hazmona milsi would in that situation not say that it is designated already. So we talk now about exchanging it or actually selling it versus mortgaging it or giving it as a loan. So what about matana? What about giving it as a gift? So this is a machlokis, pligibo, ravacha, ravina. Ravacha and ravina, they argued about this. One of them, we don't know which one, chad or sav, chad shari. One said that giving it as a gift is considered like selling it. We'll see in a moment why. And the other one said, no, giving it as a gift is not considered like selling it, and therefore it's not allowed. Now, what's the rationale? Man diosar, the one that said it is not allowed to be used if you go and give it as a gift, Bahai tifka kedushasa. In what way did it lose its kedusha by giving it as a gift? In other words, it hasn't yet been exchanged, you just gave it as a gift. There's nothing against it, so therefore you can't remove the kedusha by just giving it as a gift. And that's why the Man D'Yomer that says chad osar holds because it didn't really go out of the hektish situation. Whereas Uman Deshari, the opinion that says, no, it is permissible to use it, holds as follows. Ilab dehabale hanomine, if when you gave it to him, there wasn't some benefit that you got because that person now is going to hold you in a favorable light and he's going to do something for you in return, lahaviyavle, you would have given it as a gift. So this is a quid pro quo. Even a gift is giving him something and you're getting something in return. And therefore, it is considered permissible to give it as a gift because it's as if you sold it to him and selling it to him is allowed. As opposed to the opinion that says it's also, he says, no, giving it as a gift, that really doesn't carry any real weight and therefore it hasn't lost its kedusha and therefore you're not allowed to do it. Tanu Rabbanu, we learned the following braisa. Tashmishei mitzvah, objects that we did a mitzvah with, so when the mitzvah is done, you're allowed to throw them away. You're not allowed to use them in a bizoyon fashion, so you can't, let's say, take a pair of tzitzis or a talis and use it as a shmata to go clean out the bathroom. That you can't do. So tashmishei mitzvah, objects that were utilized in the performance of the mitzvah, you are allowed to go nizrakim, throw them away afterwards, as long as it's not in a bizoyon dikud way. So you can put it into a garbage bag, according to many. Others say you have to go and put it out in a separate garbage, whatever. It is not something that retains its kedusha when it no longer is being used as an object of a mitzvah. As opposed to tashmishei kedusha, something which intrinsically was kadosh, so that never loses its kedusha and ignores it. When it no longer is being used for that kedusha item, you have to go and bury it, you have to go put it in the gneza, and it is not allowed to be used for something else. Now, what are examples of tashmishei mitzvah and tashmishei kedusha? The Elohim tashmishei mitzvah, the following are examples of an item that was used to perform a mitzvah, and after the mitzvah is done, you're allowed to use the item as long as it's not in a disparaging way. So a sukkah, after sukkah is over, so if you want to take that firewood and use it for firewood in a chavadik way, you're allowed to do it. Lulav, after the lulav and esrog are done, if you want to make a marmalade from your esrog, you can. If you want to use the lulav to go burn it with the chametz, you can. Shofar, the shofar that was used, if you want to use it for musical accompaniment, so you're allowed to. Tzitzis, if the tzitzis are worn out and they no longer are able to be used as dalit kamfos, so again, you can put it in the garbage in a nice way. Those are examples of tashmishei mitzvah, which are nizrokin. You're allowed to get rid of them. Again, you just can't use them in a disparaging way. The objects that we're now about to say, they retain their kedusha. And what are these examples? The luskime svarim. These are like the mantles that were covering up either sifrei nach, neviim, or ksuvim, or sefer Torah. And the covers of your tefillin, and the covers of your mezuzah. So all of these have the status of tashmishei kedusha. Likewise, the tikshel sefer Torah, the case that a sefer Torah was in, like the Sfardi sifrei Torah, for example, or a mantle of an Ashkenazi sifrei Torah, the nar tikshel tefillin, and the actual box that you put your tefillin in, or so saying, and the ritzua. So all of these have the status of being tashmishei kedusha. They have a certain level of kedusha to them, and they can't be used afterwards, even though they're no longer being used for the mitzvah. Now we have five statements that Rav is going to make. The first one is as follows. Omer Rava, Merei Shavamina, originally I said, Hai Kursaya. Rashi explains that Kursaya is a bima shel eitz. This is the bima that we put the Sefer Torah on. Now normally it has a mantle on it. So originally Rava said, Merei, originally Havamina, I thought that this bima, Hai Kursaya, Tashmish, the Tashmishu, that since you never really put the Sefer Torah directly on the bima, you always put it on a mantle on top of the bima, and therefore it should have the status of tashmish to tashmish, and therefore vishari, and you'd be allowed to go and use it for a non-holy purpose. It would be like a tashmishi mitzvah and not a tashmishi kedusha. However, given the chazina, since I saw that most ve'ilavi sefer Torah, that sometimes, for whatever the reason, they took off the mantle and they put the sefer Torah directly down on the bima, so therefore, in that situation, Amina, I said, tashmish kedusha hu, even though it can be used as a tashmish to tashmish, but since sometimes it was used as a tashmish of kedusha, it has the status of tashmish kedusha, but also you're not allowed to go and use it for a non-holy purpose. Second statement the Rava said, Amar Rava, another statement, Meresh originally, Hava, I mean, I thought, Hai Prisa. Rashi explains that a Prisa is the area, the curtain, Sheparsin Svivos Ha'aron Mibifnim. This is like the curtain that's inside the Aron Kodesh. Tosus disagrees, and Tosus says it's the curtain that's outside the Aron Kodesh. In any event, originally Rava thought that this is referring to this curtain, this Aron Kodesh curtain, inside or outside, and he said, Meresh Havamin, I thought originally, Hai Prisa, Tashmish to Tashmishu. Again, it doesn't actually get used on the Sefer Torah itself, and therefore it's a Tashmish to Tashmish, and therefore it would be allowed to be used as long as it's not in Derech Bizayon when it was no longer needed. However, then Rava said, Kivin the Chazina, once I saw the Aifele, that Aifele Rashi says, is Pa'amim Shekoflin Oso Tacha Sefer Torah, that sometimes when they needed to, they would go wrap up the Sefer Torah in this curtain, and therefore, Umanche Sifri Labe, and they would actually put the Sefer Torah on this directly, so therefore it no longer was Tashmish to Tashmish. Amina, Rava said, Tashmish to Kedushahi, and therefore Va'asr, and therefore you're not allowed to go and use it. The next statement from Rava, number three, Yama Rava, Hai Tevusa, the earpot you have over here in Aron Kodesh. Rashi says the earpot means Aron Shiniskalkel, the Nifrad Mechaburo, an Aron that's coming apart. It's no longer attached. Yesh Dugmaso, Bebraiso, Beyavamos, and he gives an example of this usage in a Braiso in Yavamos, where it says, Minal Hamiropot, that you're dealing with the shoe of Ne'ila that is broken. So this word earpot means ripped apart or broken. So you have an Aron Kodesh that is coming apart. So may Avda Teva Zutrasi, you're allowed to go and build a smaller Aron Kodesh from the parts that are still usable. However, to use it for a Kursaya, to use it, as we just said, for the Bima Shel Eitz, to go build a Bima for it, that you're not allowed to do also, because that would be going down in Kedusha, and therefore you can't do this. The next statement the Rava made, Yama Rava, Hai Prisa Debala. You have over here this Prisa. Again, we said this was either the curtain on the inside of the Aron Kodesh or the curtain on the outside of the Aron Kodesh. Debala, they got worn out. So, Limi of Day, Prisa Lesifrei, you're allowed to go make it to be a mantle for a Sefer Torah. That's allowed, Shari. However, the Chumashim, but to use it for a Chumash, again, not a published Chumash like we have, but they used to have scrolls that were all of Bereishis in one scroll, all of Shemos in one scroll. So to use it for that, that's Osir, because it doesn't have the same Kedusha, as holy as a fifth of the Torah is. It's not the whole Torah. So it was previously used for the entire Torah, so now you can't use it for a fifth of that. So therefore, that's what Rava said, you're not allowed to do this. And then the fifth and last statement from Rava, Amar Rava, Hani Zevile Duchumashi, those Zevile Duchumshi, Rashi says over here, that zvile is kimin dluskami. This is some sort of a mantle, and the chumashi that we're using for one of these chumashim. So you have a mantle that we use for Bereishis. The kamtare the sifre, and likewise kamtare is the ark, the argaz, the chest that Rashi says. I find in many places in Novi where it's using this terminology. And these two things, the zvile the chumashi, the mantle for a chumish, or the ark that was used to hold a sefer Torah. Tashmish Kedusha, you know, they have the status of being Tashmish Kedusha, and therefore they can't be used for something else when they're no longer needed, and they have to be nignos, and they have to be going hidden away. Gemara says, obviously, Pshita, why would we think otherwise? It's Tashmish to Kedusha. So Gemara says, no. Ma'od Tema, I might have thought, Hani Lav Lekovon Avina, that these things were not for the purpose of honoring the Chumash, or for honoring the Sefer Torah over here. Hani Lav Lekovon Avina, what were they for? Linture Bi'amo Avina. They were used for the purposes of protecting it, not for honoring it, but just for simple protection. So therefore, if they're just protecting the Sefer, or the Sefer Torah, the Chumash, or the Sefer Torah, so I might have thought that it doesn't have the status of Tashmishei Kedusha. Maybe it only has the status of Tashmishei Mitzvah, Kamash V'la. No, that's not the case. Rava says it does have the status of Tashmishei Kedusha. Now we have another story with Rava. How Beit Kinishta, the Yudai, the Romai. There once was a shul that was made by Roman Jews. Beit Kinishta, the Yudai, Romai. Was made by Roman Jews. The Hava Besiach Lahau Idrona. And this shul had an adjacent to it in a room. It opened up into a room that was the funeral parlor. The Hava Mochas Bei Mace. And they would store the mace in there until they had the funeral. Now, since it's in the same building, that's problematic. Now, when Kohanim wanted to daven there, if there was a mace in the other room, they couldn't go inside it. Babu boy, Kohani, Lemeal, Letzalu Yehosem, the Kohanim wanted to enter into this Beit Knishta Yudoi Romoi, and they couldn't go inside because there was a mace in the other room, and the Tumah Sofalotzes, and therefore it would be Mitami them, and the Kohen can't be Tami, Tumas mace. So what do they do? They asked Rabbi Shaila, Osu Amulele Rabbi, what can we do in this situation so we're not Mitami? So Amulele Rabbi said to them, there's a simple answer. Delu Tevusa. Go and take the Aron Kodesh, Ozvua, and place it in a way, the Habalei Kli Eitze Osri Lenachas, and put it in the opening between the shul room and the funeral parlor room. And since it's a Kli Eitze, a large Kli Eitze, a wooden Aron Kodesh that is made not to be moved around, it's Osri Lenachas. So the din is Kli Eitze Osri Lenachas, a large container that's not supposed to be moved, and a Makabel Tumah. It cannot accept Tumah. If it doesn't accept Tumah, it blocks the Tumah from going out of the funeral parlor into the shul, and life is good. The Chotzeis Mipnei Tumah. And now you can go, the Kohanim can go daven in the shul, and the Tumah can't get out from the funeral parlor into the shul. That's what Rava suggested. However, the Rabbanan didn't like this. Amalei Rabbanan LeRava, the Rabbanan told Rava, no, that's not good. Because Vazimnim de Metaltele Kimonach Sefer Torah Ilave Bahabele Metaltela Mole Virekum. Because this Aron Kodesh wasn't just a Kli Eitz HaOsri Lenachas, it wasn't totally immobile. Every now and then they used it as a bima. Every now and then they put the Sefer Torah on the top of it, and they actually used it to open up the Sefer Torah on it and read it. And therefore, it is like a Kli that is Metaltel Mole and Reikum. It's moved about when it's filled or when it's empty, and therefore it's not what's called a Kli Eitz HaOsri Lenachas. It's not called a Kli Eitz that just stays where it is, and therefore it's not Chotzeitz the Tumah. And in fact, the Tumah from inside the funeral parlor will be able to go right through it and go into the shul, and it's a problem for the Kohanim. So that's what they told Rabba. And Rabba said, no, if that's it, that's it. Yahachi. So if you're telling me that that's the case, then lo efshar. My suggestion was only if it was a kli eitz, ha'osu lenachas. But if you're telling me that it's a kli eitz, it's not osu lenachas. It's metaldu l'moli v'rekam. It's moved when it's filled. It's moved when it's empty. So then you're right. That won't be an eitzah that you could get around it. Then the Gemara says, Rabba Zutra said, mitpachos sefarim shabalu. You have the mantles of these sefarim that have worn out. Osin osan tachrichil meis mitzvah. You're allowed to go and use them for another high level usage, that is for shrouds for meis mitzvah, because zuhi gnisasan, because you're going to go bury it with the mace, and that's the way that you make sure that it is in a gniza, and therefore you can use it for this. Yomar Rabba, and Rabba added further to this, and he said, Sefer Torah Shabbala, if you have a worn-out Sefer Torah, it can't be corrected, it's not going to be used anymore, so what do you do with it? So, Gonzin Oso, you also go and hide it in the ground, Eitzel Talmud Chacham, when you bury Talmud Chacham, so you put the Sefer Torah in the same Dalet Amos where this Talmud Chacham is being buried, and therefore, it's Nignaz right next to him. And this is true even if he's not the world's greatest Talmud Chacham. Afilu Shon Halachos, even if he's only somebody who studies Halachos. Now, this usually refers to, as Rashi says, Klomar afilu lo shimesh talmidei chacham. That he wasn't really a shasnik. He didn't really know shas in Gemara. Ela b'mishnayis u'b'raisus. He was expert in Mishnah and Braisus. So that too is considered something significant. And therefore, even if he's quote only baki in Mishnayis and Braisus, you can go and bury this Sefer Torah with him. And furthermore, Omer Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, we put it into something that won't easily decompose. We put it into an earthenware container so it won't easily be destroyed. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Unisatem b'chli cheres leman yamdu yomim rabim. You put it inside a chli cheres so it shouldn't get worn out very quickly. It'll take a while for it to go and be worn out. Now we say, now the gear we have is V'omar Rapapi Mishmei the Rava, but it should be Omar, Rapapi, Mishmei the Rava. Rapapi said the name of Rava, Mi Bei Knishta Lebei Rabbanon. Is there a difference between a Beis Knesses and a Beis Medrash? And you go and sell a Beis Knesses for a Beis Medrash. So he said, sure, yeah, that's allowed. However, Mi Bei Rabbanon, from a Beis Medrash to sell it to make a shul, Lebei Knishta, that's going down and you wouldn't be allowed to do this. Osir. So Rapapi said over the name of Rava that you wouldn't be allowed to go and do this. On the other hand, Rapapa said over in the name of Rava, Marpapa Mishmei the Rava said, no, opposite, Masne Ivcha. He had the exact opposite. He said that you're allowed to go and convert a base medrash into a shul, but you're not allowed to go take the higher level of Kedusha of a shul and make it into a base medrash. So Zumachlokis, how do we paskin? Om Ravacha, Ravacha said, return to Chavzai Numad Aleph. Kavasi, the Rapapi Mistaba, the first opinion, that you can take a shul and make it into a base medrash, but you can't take a base medrash and make it into a shul, that's a lowering of the Kedusha, is the right answer. Because the Rishu ben Levi, because Rishu ben Levi said, Beis HaKnesses, Mutal Asoso Beis HaMedrash, that you're allowed to go make a shul into a Beis Medrash. However, Rishu ben Levi said, the other way around, you cannot do it. Beis HaKnesses, Mutal Asoso Beis HaMedrash, but making a Beis Medrash into a Beis HaKnesses, that is not allowed, Shema Mino. Therefore, Rapapi is in accord with what Rishu ben Levi said, and that is the halachic answer. This is a good break point, but this we conclude today's share.